we take a look at the impacts of budget cuts on the Haynes court system. And the Haynes Chamber of Commerce spearheads the effort to create an economic development corporation. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. The progression of a recent burglary case in Haynes shows the practical toll state budget cuts are taking on the local justice system. In September, the Haynes Public Library was the site of two break-ins. A few days after the second incident, police identified a suspect and he was charged with felony burglary. But on the defendant's arraignment date, the Haynes court was closed. The magistrate retired a couple months ago, and the only local court employee left, the clerk, was on vacation. So the arraignment took place at the Haynes police station. The defendant, along with a police officer and reporter, crowded into the police chief's office. The arraignment was teleconferenced between three different locations: the defendant in Haynes, his public defender and the prosecutor in Juneau, and Magistrate Mary Kay Germain in Yakutat. Haynes Police Chief Heath Scott says logistically it's been interesting.
It's a lot of juggling. It's a lot of juggling.
Yakutat-based Germain is now the magistrate in charge of Haynes cases. Magistrates are judicial officers with more limited authority than district court judges. They can hear minor offense cases and preside over preliminary felony hearings.
Ideally, we would have magistrate judges in every community.
Trevor Stevens is the presiding superior court judge for the 1st Judicial District, which includes Haynes. Stevens says when longtime Haynes magistrate John Hutchins retired in August, the Alaska court system made a decision based on its slimmed-down budget.
Just the way that the openings worked, we have an existing experienced, well-regarded magistrate judge in Yakutat. And so rather than lay that person off or force that person to move, we're doing it this way.
Germaine's hours were extended, and she was given magistrate duties for two other courts, Haynes and Hoonah. Speaking from Yakutat in early October, Germain said handling three courts has been a huge increase in her workload.
Today alone, I had Haynes hearings and three Hoonah hearings.
Germain's travel schedule includes 1 week each month in Haynes, while in the other locations, she'll handle Haynes cases by teleconference. In October, the logistical hurdles were compounded because Haynes' last remaining court employee, Clerk Bonnie Hedrick, was on vacation. Criminal cases have been bounced around to Yakutat, Wrangell, and Skagway magistrates in recent weeks. Some defendants have been arraigned by telephone from their jail cell. Here's Police Chief Scott.
The disservice is really not to us, it's to the people and to the legal system. The prisoner, if you will.
The impacts of budget cuts on this burglary case didn't stop there. Initially, Assistant District Attorney Amy Page hoped to convene a grand jury on the case soon after the arraignment, but budget cuts have changed the DA office grand jury process. Before, Page says grand juries were convened once a week on Fridays, but now Alaska courts are only open until noon on Fridays. That means the DA office now convenes grand juries on Wednesdays, cutting preparation time in half.
It has become extremely difficult for us to ensure that we can collect all the materials we need to present those cases to the grand jury.
In the Haynes burglary case, Page wasn't able to make the initial grand jury deadline of October 7th.
So given that time constraint, I had to make a decision to reduce the case to a misdemeanor as a placeholder.
The placeholder didn't last for long, though. On October 12th, Page brought the felony case to a grand jury. The suspect was indicted on the two felony charges. Although this particular case is proceeding, Page says budget cuts mean prosecuting fewer cases. She says it's not just the budget situation, but the passage of Crime Reform Bill SB 91, which reduces penalties on certain offenses.
So the combination has resulted in cases that I would have previously accepted for prosecution no longer being accepted.
So budget cuts have impacted the Haynes justice system logistically, with less face time between defendants and magistrates. And they've reduced prosecutors' ability to see cases through to the end. There is one piece of good news for Haynes. Judge Stevens says given the local caseload, he wants to bring back the Haynes-based magistrate position.
I don't see this as a long-term situation.
Stevens says if the opportunity presents itself, the court system may bring a magistrate judge back to Haynes. How can Haynes improve economic development? A group of business owners and community leaders is trying to figure that out, with a new initiative aimed at helping local businesses and the economy grow. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Chamber of Commerce President Kyle Gray says the idea for the Haynes Economic Development Corporation came together when the chamber started looking at how other communities in the region developed their economies.
What we found is that it's uncommon for a community to have really only one economic development organization. Like, they'll have a chamber, you know, they may have a rotary depending on the size of their town. But what we found consistently is these economic development corporations are highly effective in all the communities that they're in.
The Haynes Corporation has a ways to go before becoming a reality. They're already incorporated and have a board, but they are still looking to the borough for seed money. Then Gray says they would bring the idea to the assembly and the public. So right now, they don't know exactly what this would look like in Haynes.
Until we can get funding, until we have the meeting with the assembly, we don't, I would say, know with 100% detail what the Haynes Economic Development Corporation is going to do.
The Haynes Borough previously tried to take a direct role in economic development with a community and economic development director, but that position no longer exists. Other models around the region can help explain what a corporation could look like. The Haynes board looked most closely at what's going on in Skagway, Petersburg, and Juneau.
Our model follows the Juneau model the closest, and the JEDC is a very effective organization, and they get a lot done in that community. And they are partially funded by the borough, partially funded through grants. In Skagway, they're 100% funded by the borough.
Basically, Gray says development corporations create more resources for local businesses.
They find ways to grow what you already have. And they, how do you do that? You know, they provide resources for entrepreneurs. You know, they may have, a finance program, for example. They may have a small business resource center, which we've talked a lot about doing in the chamber.
He says they do research on the community and define what are called economic clusters.
Find out, you know, the dollar amounts that are contributed per, you know, each segment of the economy. Like, you know, for Haynes, it could be mining, tourism, fishing, etc.
Gray says an economic development organization would be able to do things that the Chamber of Commerce is not able to. He explains the difference between a chamber,
which is a membership-based organization. It allows for political lobbying. It allows us to be the voice of a business community, and it is powerful to have that in a community.
And a development corporation.
You know, we elected the 501c3 nonprofit status because it's a lot more wide open on grant obtainability, and that is the model that we've commonly seen.
Communities fund development corporations in different ways, often with the help from the municipality.
You know, when you have a separate organization that's funded by the Borough for Economic Development, but is steered by community leaders and business owners, then, you know, it looks a lot different. And it's, you know, not necessarily weighed down by politics. It's influenced by business and by commerce, which is the best way for economic development.
In Haynes, they're still looking at different options. Gray says he's not sure yet what funding would look like. He's clear that the corporation is still in its early stages and nothing is set in stone. Reporting in Haynes, I'm Abby Collins.
Governor Bill Walker decided yesterday to include Southeast Alaska's pink salmon into a request for a federal disaster declaration. The Walker administration is already seeking disaster declarations for commercial pink salmon fisheries in Prince William Sound, Kodiak, Chignik, and the Lower Cook Inlet. like Southeast, they all fell below their pink harvest forecasts for this year, as well as five-year averages. In Southeast, the catch this year was about 18 million pinks, well below the 34 million forecast. A disaster declaration could lead to federal funding or other aid for people involved in the fisheries. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.